The opinions, beliefs, and viewpoints expressed on today's radio show and their guests do not necessarily reflect the opinions, beliefs, and viewpoints of Easy Way Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Forget About It Show with celebrity master pizza chef, celebrity pizza guy Nicholas Rubin, and fashion wellness coach Penny Latham, as they share their experiences, their connections, their knowledge, their wisdom about what you do and you don't want to forget about. Welcome to the Forget About It Show.
Guys,
welcome to the Forget About It Show. Yeah. We have a great guest today, Keith Mitchell, former player, NFL, Pro Bowler, linebacker, played for the New Orleans Saints, and he went to Yoga Guru.
That's amazing.
And I'm with the lovely
co-host
Penny Latham.
Yes, I'm fashion wellness coach, and today we're going to also have our Forget About It news. And Nick, the Celebrity Pizza Guy, is about where we've been, what we've been doing, what we're about. And, you know, we've been really finding ourselves reaching out to a lot of people, you know, throughout our shows that, you know, have had different things happen with them and, you know, shown how they've come to the height of their career after stumbling, you know, and hitting their low. And so, which kind of goes with what happened to you, Nick,
And Keith Mitchell.
Yes, and Keith Mitchell. And we also have our...
Almost every entertainer or professional athlete that we've had on the radio show, they've all had trials and tribulations in their life.
Yeah, some pretty
being
serious
injured
ones.
Injured and coming back and creating what a new age for them to be in life.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's a really important thing that, you know, people out there that live their daily lives, that they learn how to overcome things. And I think that no better way than to have people that have techniques on how to heal themselves mentally, physically. And that's what our guest today is about. Today we're going to talk about our Forget About It news and also our nutritional facts, as well as our Nick the Celebrity Pizza Guy recipe of the week, which, of course, we'll be making at the end of the show. You know, we have about a 13-year stretch in, you know, connecting exercise and learning. And today is the magical day across the country where all the kids are going back to school. And
In California.
And also back east. And so what I have found is that over the years, you know, there's been a lot of studies that have been shown that through exercise, there's been better retention. The dopamine and the endorphins that happen in exercise, people that have that every single day, or they're finding also, too, across the country that kids that do 1 to 3 sports usually will learn and retain what they learn. And when I put my kids into a charter school, that was a really big thing that they were testing out, because they had all these different things that they were trying to, you know, prove to the WASA and all that across the country, and they have. They've made number 2 in the country over the years. But the most important thing is that the Washington Post, and over the years, Oprah has also said this as well, and they're finding that they did studies that kids that did exercise every day and kids that rode bikes and developed any kind of bodybuilding or developing, you know, just a daily ritual of moving their muscles, and also concentration, meditation, that they were able to retain the things that they were learning in school, and their concentration was so much better. And so what do you think about that one?
That's awesome.
I think so, too. And my daughter, today's her first year as a senior, and I'm hoping that that's going to be the case for her.
She's a softball player.
Yeah, and she's also wanting to be a cop, so I think that's pretty cool. Well, we're going to go to commercial, bring our guest in, and what do you think about that?
Forget about it.
Welcome to EasyWayBroadcasting.com, your one-stop shop getaway to corporate Hollywood. EasyWay specializes in red carpets and will enhance your experience. EasyWayBroadcasting.com is top-ranked on Alexa and houses the EasyWay TV Film On channel, podcast radio station, and EasyWay magazine. Learn more about the beautiful Easy Way Angels and follow their events calendar. For more information, visit EasyWayBroadcasting.com and click on About Us or call 424-209-9290. Don't forget to subscribe to the website and follow Easy Way on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter pages for amazing updates and opportunities. Remember, that's letter E and letter Z because, well, we do it the easy way.
Hey, everybody, we're back, and we're going to bring our guest in today, our special guest, Keith Mitchell. He actually, he's an amazing guy. We met him last year at an event that we did, Nick and I did, with Easy Way, and, we met him, and, we were very impressed with just the things that he was saying up on the stage, and so we reached out to him, and he played as a linebacker, as Nick said earlier, with the New Orleans Saints, and then a couple other teams, and, he's just had an intense football career. But then he suffered an injury where he is now a yoga guru, where he is teaching self-healing and with veterans and children. And Keith, are you there?
I'm here, Penny.
All right. How you doing,
Keith? For having
Welcome
me.
To I'm, Forget About It Show.
Yes, thank you for having me.
That's awesome.
Awesome.
So how are you today?
I'm good. I've been in Honduras the last 2 weeks, so it's good to be back in Southern California enjoying the good weather here because it's rainy season in Central America right now.
Oh, yes. We have the hurricanes and they have the tropical moisture.
Well, you seem to do a lot of traveling. It seems like when we were talking with you, I was like impressed that you travel as much as you do. I would imagine that what you do brings you to all different places. But, we want to find out more about you because you are really quite a interesting individual who's, put yourself to the test and then you completely flip things around after you having an injury. And we want to find out exactly how you did this and how you've created such a successful thing in your life right now. Where were you born and raised?
I'm from Texas. I was born in Dallas, well, actually Tyler, Texas, raised in Dallas and Garland, Texas. So I'm a Texas kid. I went to Texas A&M. So, Texas has just been the place that I call home.
Oh, that's cool. That's really good. And how long have you always stayed in Texas most of your life or, before you played or were you moving around the country, when you started to, go through school and college and whatnot and get into your career?
I chose the final two schools. I had narrowed it down. I was recruited all over the country to come play college football, and I narrowed it down to USC and Texas A&M. At that point in time, I was too afraid to come to California at the time. So I chose to stay at home, and then after my years in college, I was with the New Orleans Saints, and I guess my life and travel just started taking off from the age of 21.
Well, Keith, I have a question for you. Where did you go to high school at?
I went to Garland Lakeview. It's a 5A program there. We had about in Texas, we got really big schools. So we had about 6,000 people at our school. So we had a big five. Yeah, it was huge schools there. So I was there. And, Friday Night Lights, it's a big high school football programs are there, very competitive there as well.
That is correct. When you played in high school, were you a linebacker then?
Yeah, I've always played the linebacker position. The linebacker position for me was I'd rather hit people than get hit. So that was my motto.
That makes sense. That's awesome.
Yeah, that was my motto.
So after you graduated high school, you got accepted to Texas A&M, and you started playing linebacker for Texas A&M?
Yeah, when I went to Texas A&M, it was known linebacker U. And actually, USC was known for having good linebackers as well. So I wanted to go and compete and play amongst the best. And I became one of the best after my turn. I was behind, when I first got to A&M, I was behind several All-Americans. And then later I became an All-American myself and began to have my own success. And from there, again, I went to the New Orleans Saints and you know, took that, you know, Texas A&M, we had built a really awesome tradition there in school, winning. You know, winning is something that we did a lot of when I was in college. So I took that winning attitude or that way of playing with me to the NFL under Coach Mike Ditka.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Well, I'm from Chicago, so I think that's pretty cool. So
you went from playing in New Orleans to where did you go next? Did you go to Houston Texans or did you go to Jacksonville Jaguars?
Yeah, after 6 years in New Orleans, we actually began to create a winning tradition in New Orleans. Coach Ditka was there for 2 years, and then we had Jim Haslett. I believe we started the winning tradition in New Orleans. We won our first playoff game against the Rams. They were known as the greatest show on turf at that time. We beat them. We were we won the first NFL playoff game of New Orleans Saint history. I was chosen to the National Football All Pro team. So I was a Pro Bowl 2 years in New Orleans. That's where your peers, the coaches, and fans vote you in. And New Orleans was just starting that winning tradition. So from New Orleans, I went to the Houston Texans for a year under Don Capers, and then I went to Jacksonville my final year with the Jacksonville Jags under Jack Del Rio, who's the head coach of the Raiders now.
The Oakland Raiders.
The Oakland Raiders.
Oh, they should be good this year. What do you think?
I don't know. It's going to be interesting. I'm curious to see Marshawn Lynch play. I'm really a fan of how he plays football. So I'm really curious to see how he's going to bounce back from taking a year off, and hopefully he's healthy enough to really come back and play the way he knows how to play. And if he has success, I believe the Raiders will have success.
Awesome. So that's it. What happened to your NFL career?
So my last season, we were playing the Buffalo Bills. I was making a tackle, routine tackle. I was reading a play. I knew that, you know, Drew Bledsoe was a quarterback, played against him many years. And I knew I was reading a play, one particular play. He had Travis Henry on the backside running an angle route. And I was plotting on that route. And I anticipated that play. I was looking for the interception, but I came up short on that, and it just made a big collision. And after this collision, I ended up on my back flat out, and I couldn't move. And I was there probably almost an hour on the field, and I absolutely had no mobility. I was later diagnosed as with spinal contusion, and I suffered paralysis for about a month and a half or so. And the journey actually began right there.
Wow.
That's crazy.
So did you, like, did you need back surgery or anything like that? Or you just had the time to heal?
Well, the doctors, they didn't really know what was going on with my neck. They had diagnosed me with a contusion. But, you know, what is a contusion? You know, I bruised my spine, you know, right?
Correct.
And then what is a spine? You know, it's like we know very little about what the spinal cord is all about and how it functions. So, you know, they were suggesting me to be on medications and possible operations, but I didn't want to do that. I didn't feel comfortable doing that. So they kind of just waited. It's like they didn't have all your life you've been told that the doctors have the answers. So when it was time to get the answer from the doctor and the doctor doesn't know, wow, you're like, okay, now what's going on now? You know, so like my life was really in a midlife crisis, so to speak, because I'm not even concerned about walking. I'm concerned about will I be able to play? And so, again, my journey really started right there.
Well, yeah, because your mind was probably still on the field. And you know, I think that's what happens. I've watched a few young kids in high school have that happen to them on my son's team. And, you know, I'll tell you, I was I think as a mom or as, you know, someone with a child or with someone that has someone out on the field, you do, you look at that. So as you being the one that's injured, I can't even imagine what was going through your mind and how you felt you were going to deal with the fact that you couldn't play anymore. How long after that did you feel that you were able to get your reality in check and,
right.
and understand where you were going from there?
Well, it took me years to get my reality in check. I mean, for a lot of reasons. I mean, if you add the years up and the role that I had been playing in life as a football player was my whole life. My whole identity was wrapped up into being a football player. So I didn't know myself other than being a football player. So it's not only my career, it's my whole identity that's being, like, you know, taken from me. So, you know, a lot of things are happening. Luckily for me, in the hospital, I was learned conscious breathing. A nurse who just gave me some advice. She spoke to me. She talked about conscious breathing and what happens when you breathe. And when she gave me that intelligence of what happens to you when you breathe, it allowed breathing to be a tool. It allowed me to use this tool to affect my healing. And very interesting question enough, like I just went over, like what happens when you breathe? If you ask yourself, what happens to you when you breathe? Have you ever thought about this question? Do you even know what goes on through this dynamic of happening? But the interesting thing enough, when you do add this to your consciousness, your intelligence, and you understand what happens when you breathe, then it becomes a very important tool that you can access and really grab some really amazing opportunities in this life is what I found.
Well, you know, I get what you're saying about the breathing because I've had three kids and Lamaze and all that, and they do teach that. And it is amazing how you can funnel your energy and your concentration through your breathing to get rid of pain also. Now, when you were in the hospital, did you have – nurses and doctors or people that were, you know, within the staff that helped you to get to that knowledge or to at least open that pathway for you? Or did you have to reach out and try to go search that out on yourself, on your own?
No, like I said, when I was in the hospital, a nurse introduced me to conscious breathing. And the intelligence of breathing, what I've found, we take about 10,000 breaths a day, right? And so if you think about people who and how they typically breathe, they breathe from their chest. Well, the chest, you have two organs that function in the chest. You have your heart and your lungs. They move automatically. They move naturally. But what doesn't move is our internal organs. So when you think about breathing from the belly, the diaphragm pushes down on the inhale, and on the exhale, it pushes up. So you get an opportunity to massage your internal organs that don't get an opportunity to move. You get 10,000 chances a day to move this. You're basically massaging your internal organs, allowing blood flow, oxygen to move and circulate through the body, through your breath. And it becomes a really amazing tool, not only to deal with pain, but to listen to pain, because pain is also an intelligence. It's your body speaking to yourself, because
Correct.
The body doesn't
Correct.
Have a mouthpiece.
Correct.
It only communicates through sensations. So we begin to listen to ourselves through this dynamic. And this is something that I had never been familiar with, because football is the total opposite. You're constantly creating friction, constantly putting yourself in harm's way, creating collisions. So it was a total different dynamic than what I was used to.
Wow, that makes a lot of sense. I think, you know, most people don't even think about that. So as you went through your journey of trying to heal yourself, how long do you feel it was before you really noticed a big difference or a change where you were starting to move around a little bit better?
It'd be 100%.
Well, I don't know if I'll ever be 100% after all the broken bones and ligaments and things like that and the concussions. I mean, I've literally been through the ringer being a linebacker. And, you know, people used to ask me, what do you do for a living? I'm like, I hit people. You know, so that guy was doing that for so
Forget
many years.
Forget about it.
I don't think you ever heal completely. But what happens is you allow the the rebuilding process to take its toll, and then through that, you find certain release. How about that?
There you go.
Okay, that makes sense. That totally makes sense.
So what brought you into yoga? I mean, like, how many years after you were in the NFL, like, what did you, like, do then, or did you just jump into this yoga guru and, you know, what brought you to that?
Well, it was a process because I learned meditation first, and what meditation does is it's bringing all the concepts together. It's the contemplation. It's the reflection of your life. It's a reflection. I got a chance to reflect from one moment being fully capable to do everything physically possible to the next moment having it all completely taken away. That puts you in a place of reflection. And luckily for me, like, I found the meditation practice because in that I could allow this tool to take over and do some really interesting things for me in my life, in my mental process. So I began to reflect on my relationships with my family, the relationships I had with myself. And through this experience as making tool to heal, I began to allow myself to heal the existing relationships that I continue to have friction and conflict in, because I believe this also contributes to you continuing to be in dysfunction. So I wanted to relinquish everything that would cause me pain, everything that would just take away from the healing process for me, because it all mattered for me. And through this experience, over a year of that, I found the concept of yoga, which is union, and basically bringing it all together from the mind, body, spirit component, and bring it all together. Because again, like I said, the bruises, the bumps and bruises I sustained playing in the NFL and in my whole career, high school, college, and pros, I was in bad shape.
Oh, I'm sure you were. It's a hard job and it's hard work. And
yeah, I give you guys lots of credit to go out there and get busted up like that.
And the healing process is
for the entertainment of the world, right? Now, did you have a lot of other pro players that had been injured that kind of took the route that you did, or what would you feel is been, you know, in that realm?
Well, I know one other Ricky Williams. He was a teammate and opponent. You know, we played against each other
Ricky
when he was
Williams.
At the University of Texas.
My favorite then, running back in the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah, yeah. He kind of went the yoga route, and he's the only other one that I know of. But yoga is I don't look at yoga solely as a physical practice. Yoga means union. And it's a, in my opinion, and how I teach it, is a development practice. It's a development practice of expanding not only to the rehabilitation, but it's also the growth and development of the individual that you never knew actually existed. Like, my whole life, I had only given myself the opportunity to be on the planet as a football player. That's all I ever known myself to do. I never allowed myself anything else. I never allowed myself to grow and be a speaker. I never allowed myself to be whatever it is, you know, to, if you even talk about loving, you know, being lovable, like things like that. I had known myself only as a gladiator, a dominant masculine entity. And that's only 50% of who I am. You know, the masculine, they would also have a softer side. That's compassion, that's patience, that's gentleness. And I had never expanded that opportunity of myself to be with myself. And then granted, we're just talking about the relationship with myself. You know, it's so interesting. If I can't extend these components to myself, how can I have a relationship with other people? You know, the first patience and compassion has to first start with
yourself.
Sure. Yeah. And so I began to develop that because, again, my idea was solely committed, my commitment to healing my body.
That sounds awesome. So how do you use that to help others? I mean, what exactly was the first thing that you started to do to reach out to help other people? You know, that's how you became your guru, I realize. But, I mean, you know, to be a guru in something is to be a master at it. But, you know, what did you do first?
Well, I mean, I started working on myself. I probably worked for 10 years on myself, and then I decided, wow, I could share this with the world. And and I began my journey. I sold everything and I moved to LA, and I wanted to start my brand here. And the first thing I wanted to do was I wanted to create an event for the community. I wanted the community to experience something like a retreat that we come together, learn about health and wellness, and we enjoy a day together. I believe a lot of times people have insecurities about being around other people because they never get the opportunity to be around other people. So I wanted to create this in a town that I knew absolutely no one. You know, I always call LA as a small pond with huge fish. But I had this ridiculous idea, right?
We experienced that.
So I had this idea to do this event, and I wanted 10,000 people to come. I wanted the mayor to participate. I wanted the police chief to participate, and I didn't know how the hell I was going to get it done, but. The long story short, we got it done, and we hold it at the LA Coliseum, and we've had 10 to 12,000 people come out, and it's a full day of just retreat with one another, learning about healthcare, wellness. It's a run walk. It's health screenings. It's nutritional courses. It's massage. Mm-hmm. It's sound bath healing.
Mm-hmm.
The whole
shebang.
Like
fun.
Yeah.
When was that?
Yeah, what time of year?
That's the Mindful 5K. You can go on the YouTube and you can kind of see the whole event and how it's set up and structured. It's the first of the year because you know the football season of the Trojans. You know, you have to work around their season. But it's an amazing event that we put together here when I first moved to LA, and from there I just, you know, it inspired me to continue. I've been from the White House to doing the meditation with Michelle Obama, to working with Congress, with Congressman Tim Ryan, and we started the Congressional Yoga Association with Congressman Charles Rangel out of Harlem, New York, Tim Ryan out of Ohio. Yeah, and we would bring the Democrats and Republicans to meditate together before they go vote. We start working with veterans.
They need lots of meditation,
right? We created a component with the University of Rochester to work with veterans. You know, it's been the whole shebang. We've been all over the place. I'm actually in process of writing a book now, and you know, it's been an amazing journey. We've been all over the world at this point, and just sharing the practice of mindfulness, growth and development, and what that looks like.
So will you be having another one the beginning of this next year?
I don't know. We've kind of been on this book's journey, and I believe now we're going to move into another direction. I want to keep it going, but we're kind of finalizing that now, and what if we can actually get that done. But, you know, we've actually done it also in New York, Veterans Park in New Jersey, actually, where you guys are from, or Nick is from.
Yeah, from Jersey.
That's cool. Now, so it doesn't matter where you come from or what your physical ailments are. You take everybody in, and they all go through this whole deal as long as they want to participate.
Well, yeah. I mean, yoga. The concept of yoga is just showing up. It's showing up as you are, and you know, there's a teacher I follow. He has a the highest form of human intelligence is to be able to observe oneself without judgment. And it's to go in and be okay where you are, but recognize mm-hmm. where you are is not where you have to stay. Like if the doctor gives you the diagnosis, you take that in. Okay, he's diagnosed me, but that doesn't define me. You know, it's just the opportunity. You can call it challenges. I like to call it opportunities. It's the task at hand that I get a chance to exercise this idea of faith that I believe can work. And I believe we, the human body, has the potentiality to heal way beyond our interpretation, way beyond our understanding of what we've been told. And I'm an advocate for that because I've done it in my own life. And thank goodness I've, you know, the Creator has allowed me to be a vessel to allow and share it with other people. And I've seen them do it. I've seen them heal. People as close to me as my mother being diagnosed with stage 3 breast cancer. And after a year of working with her through nutrition,
sorry to hear that.
Healing her heart. No, she's cancer free.
That's
cancer free now. God bless. Didn't have to do That's radiation, awesome. Didn't have awesome. To do chemotherapy. She's cancer-free. And to be able to share that has been the most tremendous blessing and the most tremendous high out of any stadium or any tackle that I've ever had in my life.
Oh, absolutely. Because it's so close to you, that's for sure, and it means so much. Who are your mentors in yoga? I mean, have you do you feel that there's some out there that really touched you in a different way?
Well, I think every experience that I've, you know, been involved with, teachers, influencers, just, you know, my family, I come from a very religious background. My father's a preacher, and we've been acclimated in that whole realm my whole life. It's just my experience. You know, I've been allowed to push the envelopes of life way beyond a lot of people. You know, I always say I've lived life for three or four people already at this point. And from that, I'm grateful that I've been able to accumulate knowledge and been an open student to be able to take it in and to learn from it and to be able to share my highs and my lows and really not attach to it and to share with other people, because ultimately what I've realized, we're the medicine. We were the original medicine for one another, or, you know, back in the ancestral days, you know, we have the ability to give inspiration, to stir up things in you that allow you to be your higher self and things like that.
Exactly.
So I've just been an open vessel to be able to share the medicine of healing and what that looks like, to inspire people to really be creative and step outside their boundaries and to be their higher self. So, I'm so grateful for this opportunity and this journey that I've been blessed, you know, through the circumstance. I've been blessed to be in this position to share this information that I've seen people who've written me from after having the course with me or you know, attending a lecture or a talk that I've done that has allowed them to go out and be their higher self. That's why I do it. And
have you done a lot of talks on stage?
Yeah, I've been on stage with some of the most, from to the White House to really some very interesting people.
Really?
I've never considered, when I was a football player, I didn't consider myself a public speaker. But again, through this concept of meditation, you know, a growth and development, I've allowed myself to grow into the position, you know, and take those baby steps and just allow myself to have the learning to be able to speak and articulate the message. And then it's been phenomenal. One thing I've learned with veterans, you know, is a lot of people talk about the man inability to communicate. And, you know, it's not that we don't want to communicate. It's sometimes it's just finding the words to articulate it. And I've been able to really help those guys, like, come out of those boxes, because I think depression comes from the lack or suppression of the expression. You know, and when you can express yourself and not feel you're being judged, typically just being the judge of yourself, when you can allow that to come out, you heal yourself. You release these things, you know, and I've been seeing some really amazing results from that.
Well, that's cool.
So the book that you're writing right now, what is it about?
Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, it's so the whole thing is about creating when you create your intention, it's like it's something that you're executing, and you know, and it's a way that you're choosing to live on, you know, live your life with, you know. And just because you come up with this idea that you want to live your life a certain way, well, you can't denounce the fact that you're going to have triggers. You're going to have even defaults, because in everything we do, it's not perfection, right? We're going to make mistakes.
Right.
We're going to fall. So when we have these occasions happen, I want you to fall back onto the message, and I'm going to give you some keys and some pointers. Basically, it's going to be like a coach. You know, I'm going to be coaching you through certain things to get you on your way of really extreme or higher level execution. And the book is called The Mindfulness Playbook, and it's to take you to that higher level, that next level of your life, whether it be love, whether it be just the growth and development. You know, I had a very interesting conversation with a doctor. You'll find this probably maybe funny, I don't know. But the doctor, you know, he was interviewing me because, you know, he was doing my routine checkups with my concussion. And he's like, yeah, you know, it's such a harsh thing that you guys leave the game so depleted and you leave so banged up. I'm like, you're right, Doc. You're so true. But I'm like, you know, you guys go through it too, right? He's like, well, what do you mean? I'm like, well, you negate your 20s and your 30s because you're trying to get this degree, this medical doctorate degree, and you don't have an idea of how to talk to a woman, but you want love in your life. So you don't have any social skills to talk to a woman. So what do? You go buy a woman, and by the third wife you have, you realize that they're not there for you. And he's like, you're right. I found my wife on Craigslist.
Well, you know,
that's what I forget about it.
Well, Nick fell 60 feet, and you were saying you had a concussion. You were going to see check the concussion.
And
Nick did not have a concussion, even though he ended up with what 30.
He split my skull.
Yeah, he split his skull. He fell off a roof. 60 feet. Can you imagine?
Wow.
And here you are just bumping with the guys and doing everything.
I've had three back surgeries. I have broken kneecaps right now.
Wow. I'm like, Nick, who did you play for, man? Who'd you play for?
Who'd you play for? That's awesome.
T-Motion City, New Jersey.
He should write a book on that 60 feet.
Yeah. Not sure we're looking to write a book about it's going to be called 60 Feet.
Yeah, he's gonna write the book and, you know, have something for every foot.
Yeah, every chapter is going to be a foot.
So you're writing this book, and you have, when do you expect to be completed with it? Or I realize that nothing ever is exact, but when do you think you'll be done with it?
Well, first of the year is what I'm hoping, and we'll continue to tour. And, like, I have engagements from the rest of the year all over the world, and we'll mm-hmm. continue to do that. I really enjoy connecting with people, going out and different speaking arenas that we get to go out in. Because in sports, you know, I was always, you know, kept separate from everyone. Like, you know, it's my opportunity to really connect with people, have conversations with people. So I really enjoy that. So touring as of right now is a big thing that we get an opportunity to do. So that's why we're traveling so much. But so that's fun. But the book is something I'm very excited about. And so hopefully first of the year.
You're excited for you. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's really good. Now, you say you work with veterans and children. So with veterans, what is your main thing that you do with them?
Well, veterans, you know, a lot of those guys suffering PTSD, I believe mm-hmm. 24 or so suicides a day that our veterans go through. It's really the depression. I believe this also has to do with so many of the medications that the guys are on and the side effects of these medications. You got CTE as well, all the trainings. You know, I've got a chance to go to Fort Bragg to work with the Green Berets. It was so funny when I went to Fort Bragg first time. They were like, if you're gonna get us to meditate, you're gonna have to jump out of a plane to prove yourself that we can meditate with you.
I don't know about that one. That sounds pretty scary.
It was scary, but guess what? I did it.
Did you really?
So,
oh my god.
Yeah.
I'd love to do that.
He likes to be a daredevil. I'll tell you, I have to tie him down to keep him from doing those crazy things.
If I have a parachute, I'm all right.
Well, okay, if you have a parachute, I can do it.
If you fly off 60 feet, it's not all right.
Hard Rock in Vegas, and he looked down to the pool. You know, we were up on the 9th floor. And I said, oh, my gosh, I said, does that bother you, you know? And of course, you know, yeah, it does. So I can't imagine you going on a plane, oh, my God, and jumping out.
As long as I have something to stop me from hitting the ground real hard.
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah. Well,
Oh yeah. But, as you're going up, you know, they're giving a countdown. We're at 9,000. We're at 10,000. And you know, I was in with a couple of guys, you know, and they're just jumping out carefree because they do it all the time. And your mind is trying to figure this thing out. Like, why are people jumping out of a perfectly normal plane? There's no reason to jump out. But when my time,
that would definitely get rid of any PTSD. But that's crazy. So yoga is a way to get rid of that. Do you find that you've been able to heal or help people to heal themselves and pull themselves out of that? Because I know a lot of people that get that, you know, and
Bunny's been wanting me to try yoga for a while.
I've been begging him to do this because
the realm.
It's the combination. Because what you'd be amazed at, the yoga, for what I understand and what I believe and feel, that it allows you to detach from your inhibition. You know, you have these guards that you may not realize are up, and so yoga allows those to be taken off the board. And to really go into that one space of just letting it all go. And when you can let the inhibition go, you can let everything completely go. You begin to discover something about yourself. You begin to, tap into this concept of compassion because you feel something that you've never felt or you haven't felt in such a long time, and that's just a release. And you begin to like realize that this is possible for me. This is you have understanding of consciousness that this can exist for me. Until this point, you've never realized that this can exist. So it's like when you have this opportunity, now you create space that when I go through this dynamic or this dance of yoga and meditation, then I can have this release. I can have this sensation of healing and feeling that I can rebuild this body. I can connect to myself and things like that. And it's pretty fascinating. And I've seen, like I said, so many people have the experience and do some really fascinating things. And it doesn't matter where you're coming from. It doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter anything. It's just like, it's just with an idea that you want and believe that healing is possible. That's all you need, that commitment, and it can be a life-changing experience.
Well, I believe that. I really do. I taught martial arts for about 4 years, and I do believe that yoga and any kind of form of meditation where you center yourself and you step outside your comfort zone and you reach out to things that you maybe wouldn't ever have thought you could do, I think are really important. We would love if you ever have something. I think Nick and I should show up to one of your things see what kind of limitations we have.
Have you ever thought about making CDs and have your own name stamped on it with your yoga techniques and stuff like that?
Yeah, we're definitely going to do some of that. I just been kind of going at this pace for various reasons. You know, I'm allowing it to build organically, and so we'll definitely have that. But really, the interesting dynamic when you talk about back to the veterans or even just a veteran-like personality or that alpha or that masculine entity, you know, when you really think about it, like when I tallied up my whole life and my experiences just being a man on the planet, you never have a man speaking of compassion and patience and gentleness and things like that. You never experienced that. I haven't anyway in my life. And a lot of the guys that I'm relating to have never had that in my and that alone allows them to like settle into something that they've never experienced before. It allows them the space of like expressing themselves that they in a way that they've never expressed themselves before, and they feel like they're not being judged. So it's a whole dynamic that's happening in the experience when you talk about what this practice looks like and what it can do. We also, because we also add a little dynamics of NLP, the dynamics of dialogue, question and answering, and having a circle of men speak and answer questions, have these vulnerable moments and share themselves and realize and create this container for them to recognize that they're not being judged. And in this, like, some of the most fascinating things happen. You'd be so amazed what happens. And not only just with men, I do this with some of my classes are all women. I do this type of stuff with our youth. I have a foundation called the Light Up Foundation. We do a lot of things all over the country with kids. Kids are my passion because they're the next generation, and I want to invest into our youth because they're going to be calling the shots when we're rolling around in the wheelchair and things like that. So that's
what,
something
so what
that,
exactly do you do for the youth? What do you do for the youth?
We teach them about growth and development, meditation as a practice of growth and development. We go into the education with a linear approach, right? You know, the education is a study, the test, how you memorize the letters and you put the A and B and C, that's your education. But I want the kids to have substance. I want them to have a deeper depth of understanding what education is and what the power of who they are and what that looks like is. And so I believe we give them an understanding of building, being leaders, you know, in the community, in their home, you know, things like that, looking at nutrition,
right,
things like that. Because all of this really tallies up into an investment in yourself. You know, it's like I always say, if you have equity in the building, you have ownership. A lot of us don't even know how we function. Like I asked a simple question, do you know what happens when you breathe? But most of us don't even have a conception of that. Most of us never asked ourselves a question of this, you know? And so really what it boils down to, if I don't have compassion and I don't have patience with myself, but I'm expecting someone else to, well, that's a conflict of interest. That's a contradiction.
Sure,
you know,
it
so
is.
It's a whole building block for the individual to understand, so therefore he can go and extend it to other people, and it's the relationship with self, and that's what we share from our youth to women to men to military to Congress to athletes. It's the whole shebang. We're
it's
all
a
suffering.
Great, it sounds like a great deal.
It's pretty cool.
I love it that you you work with
well,
ex-president Bill Clinton, and these senators and Congress and getting them into
well,
the
they
meditation.
All need to learn to concentrate and to visualize outside the box.
Yeah, I love that. That's awesome that he does that.
We want, before we get on with our show, we want to talk
before
about
we
this
get
more.
On our show. We've been on our show.
We want – he's so funny. He's my comic co-host. We want you to make a pizza, create a pizza with Nick, the Celebrity Pizza Guy. So we talked about this earlier. Like, go ahead. This is for sure.
So, Keith, what kind of pizza would you like to create? I know what it is. You can do that.
Well, you know I'm vegan, right? So I'm vegan for 3 years.
Yeah,
so we gotta,
I know that. That's why I said that.
So we're going to do the gluten-free type concept. So
gluten-free.
Yeah, so what kind of crust can we get? Can we get a spelt or some kind of crust that's kind of not so much starch in it?
Absolutely.
Whatever you want, I can create.
Yeah, he's the master.
So you want gluten free? It's going to be a beautiful crust, and you know, I know you, for a vegan, you're either going to want a pesto sauce or you're going to want a red sauce, and then you just put on the vegetables that you want, and you know, and go from there.
Didn't you mention something about cheese?
Red sauce.
Red sauce. There you go.
And a vegan cheese.
Oh, yeah, the cheese. Can we do like a cashew cheese or something like that? Or what do you recommend?
Yeah, there you go.
That sounds yummy. That sounds
okay,
really
there you
good.
Go.
And maybe we add some spinach. And maybe mushrooms because I like mushrooms, you know.
Oh, yeah.
That sounds
spinach
yummy.
And mushrooms are awesome.
That sounds
good.
All right.
So is the vegan diet, has that been a really, really good thing for you in your healing with, you know, your injuries and everything? Do you feel that you've done better since you've given up meat?
He's got 0% fat.
Well, we know that.
let me give you some little insight on the digestive process. That gives you a little food for thought.
There you go.
Right, food for thought.
Doctor.
So 85%, when I eat my food, and I digest it. Well, 85% of my blood goes to my gut to digest my food. So if I look at my blood as my life force, so if all my life force is going into my gut to digest the food, well, then what life force do I have of my growth, like for my growth? And when you have all the blood, like, and when you're eating really the hard food, and typically the ones when you're going to sleep at night, you got all this hard food on your body, well, your body can't rest. And then when you tally up breakfast, lunch, and dinner, well, your gut is constantly having to work, and all your blood force, all your life force is in your gut. So you only have about 15% of your life force that you're able to maneuver, be creative, live life, love, things like that, grow and develop. So when you ease up on the gut and you give it things that are more easily digestible, then you begin to work with your body. And so the digestive process is not so rough. And then so now I don't have so much stress on my body. So I believe we should turn our body out so much.
Great.
Right.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that's a wonderful thing. I think more people need to learn more about that. Or if nothing else, what you're saying is to do that as you get further into the day, so that when you are going to go to sleep, when your body is actually healing itself, when you sleep, like we take omegas at night and it just knocks us out. It's amazing. We have this Kayani product that we usually take. But the main thing is if your body, you're right, if it's healing itself when you're sleeping, then definitely you don't want to have all that toxin from the meat in your body.
Correct.
Yeah, it really stresses the body out. So I like to relieve it and give it easily digestible things. I don't even eat after 8 o'clock. After 8 p.m., I don't eat any food. I eat my first meal probably by noon. My first intake of anything is a smoothie in the morning, like a nutritional shake. And then I have my biggest meal at lunch.
Mm-hmm.
My lunch at noon, and then I eat something at around 6 or so, and then I'm done eating for the day. And I'm still about 228, 230 around there.
Do you usually do your carbs more in the middle of the day compared to as you get further in? Well, yeah, you have to have some carbs. I mean, you can't go completely.
Do you do carbs?
Yeah, I do carbs. I do my biggest meal is noon because, you know, you got all day to burn it off. And you got, you know, the sun is at its highest point. So I'm getting a lot of energy from just the serotonin is pumping. So it's allowing me to digest eat more easily. And so that's my biggest meal around.
You know what we should do? We should make a vegan pizza book.
Yeah, we should. Well, we want to create a pizza diet. We want to teach people that pizza doesn't have to be a bad word.
A vegan way for kids
healthy. You're saying the spelt flour, the lupin bean flour. I mean, there's so many things that we could do that, you know, would give them better carbs. I think that you're right. But what's the worst carb that you say you ingest? What would you say it would be?
The worst carb. Sometimes I do a red potato. That would be the worst carb I ingest.
But you know that potatoes don't have gluten in them, so that's a good force. That's a good thing.
Right.
Wow. That's the worst.
Red potatoes. That sounds good. I'd rather eat red potatoes than the other one.
Yeah, but he says it's the worst carb.
It is the worst. But if it's his worst carb, then
what's the best carb?
Yeah, what's the best carb you eat? There you go.
Well, you know what? I'm in love with quinoa. How about that?
Oh, I love that stuff.
Yeah,
quinoa.
Yeah, quinoa is very, very good. And I think that in moderation, just like rice, you definitely, if you eat quinoa versus white rice or whatever, I think it's so much healthier for you. But, you know, the beauty of the type of crust that he makes, you can put anything you cook on your stove on his crust. So if we can master a vegan, gluten-free crust, then that would be just amazing.
That'd be awesome.
That would be awesome.
I would want that book.
Let's create it.
Yeah, and then have a great exercise program to burn the calories,
connected to it. I think that would be a great program for, because we want to get into the school and teach the kids how to eat. And you're right. If you teach the youth the best way to meditate, to eat, how they're supposed to nourish their body.
There won't be no obesity in
the school. Obesity will go down.
Will go down in schools and healthy living.
And I can see how your veterans that are injured.
Of life.
Because when they're injured, they can't move. So it's good that, you know, you're teaching them how to, help themselves.
Yeah.
So that they,
when you're in that kind of pain, you know, you want to release all the pain. Because that's just not the best way to live. I mean, you know, trying to be a parent, trying to, make decisions under the circumstances of pain, that's just, that's very difficult. So the idea is to release as much unnecessary stress as possible.
So Keith, how would our listeners find you, and how would they be able to reach you, not just to look up your website, but how would they reach out to you if they had, something that they wanted to get your help with?
Yeah, my website is keithmitchell59.com. 59 was my jersey number, so I'm still attached to it a little bit. So on my website, it has all my social media handles, and it also has a subscription. You can subscribe to my website to get all the updates of what I'll be teaching and so forth. But it also has email there as well, where you can email me directly, and I will answer any questions you have, let you know about any opportunities to come to any of the classes, any information you want to know about the foundation and how you can participate, because that's really what it's about, too. The initiative that we're going with for the second half of this year is to empower people and show how they can participate in their own communities and create the movements of just more consciousness. You know, again, this world with so much happening, compassion, and things like that, we have to go into our kids, our communities, and share this. We can come together. This is the perfect time to do this. So I want to show people how they can actually do this in their own communities. And so that's the initiative that we're going with the second half of the year. So please.
That sounds fantastic.
Awesome.
So this trip to Honduras,
we have 4 minutes.
Did you do research and did you get out there and teach people, or was that a personal thing?
Yeah, what was the trip about in Honduras, real quick?
I had a couple people that were a little fearful of traveling, so I took the journey with them. I studied under a really amazing teacher, Dr. Sabi. He's healed hundreds of thousands of people with all kinds of various diseases, from cancers to HIV and so forth. And
wow.
I've learned under him, and he passed away a year ago. And I've been taking people out there who are really sick, and taking them out there to know that there's a better way, that healing there's an opportunity of healing.
That's
so
fantastic. Good for
this
you.
Place, it's a marvelous place called Usha Village, and I'll be going actually next year as well. So anyone that wants to take this journey, send me an email, and we'll take this journey together.
I don't need an email.
That's awesome. Yeah, we'll have the gluten-free vegan pizza book made primarily out of Honduras.
we'll make some vegan pizzas for the Honduras.
You know, he spins everything, Keith. Everything is, he's got magic fingers, I swear. And he spins these pies. And he's been doing it for 50 years. And, you know, I don't care what kind of nutrition we could put together in a book. You could actually just give him the ingredients, and I swear he can make anything. And I mean, I don't think I've ever tasted a bad meal that he's ever cooked, you know? So, you know, besides his magic and his pizza, like, you're the guru for yoga. Well, he's the pizza guru. Hey, there you go.
I love it. That's a new title for you.
Hey, Keith, thank you very much for being on the Forget About It show. Our time is running up. And we'll be talking to you. And God bless.
All right, yoga guru.
All right. Sounds good. Okay.
Have a good
God bless.
Have a good month. All right, ladies and gentlemen, have a great week, and we'll see you next week on the Forget About It show.
Yeah, and
with the lovely
Timmy Latham.
And who?
And Nick, the Celebrity Pizza Guy.
Oh.
Yeah.
Have a good week.
And yeah, we're going to bring in Chris Salem's on next week. But thank you so much. I'm so glad Keith was able to come on. And once again, don't forget to forget about it. Wow.
We hope you enjoyed our show. If you like us, email us or repost our show. Saying goodbye from Celebrity Pizza Guy, Nicholas Rubin, and Fashion Wellness Coach, Penny Latham. We'll see you next week on The Forget About It Show.